You know, in John chapter 2, what people were so shocked at, they saved the best for last. Some of y'all get that. I was just joking. But then the preacher got up here and said, it's a serious time. So I said, maybe I ought not say that. I need about 3/4 of you to pray God won't judge me. God will help us. No, I appreciate the Lord. God's good to us. We're not competing. Not trying to impress anybody. Just trying to preach the Lord. He's worthy. Well, I thank God for being so good to us. I deserve hell. Ought to be in hell. Amen. But God. But God. Amen. Judges chapter number 1, if you would. Judges number 1. Amen. Thank you, preacher, for letting us preach, giving us opportunity. And I had to poke at Brother Tim. He was aggravating me because I was having to study while he was watching football. He probably ought to have been home praying for me. If I had any kind of friend, he'd have cut that thing off and prayed. I'm glad y'all laughed at that one, because that first one, after it was over, I about just quit. Judges chapter number 1. I'm glad we can laugh and have a good time. Matter of fact, the best fun I ever had since I've been saved. Amen. Verse number 1. Bible said, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? Now there's a need here. The people are needing to know something, and they're needing somebody to go for them. And I like what God said in verse number 2, and the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. Well, I'm glad when there's a need, God's got a man. Amen. When God uses men, amen, to reach people. God uses people to reach people. Amen. When God wanted to deliver Israel out of the land of Egypt, he raised up a man named Moses. Amen. I thank God that God uses men. God, I thank God for the opportunity to be used. In verse number 4 said, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them Bezek 10,000 men. Over in verse number 9, and after the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley, and Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, and they slew Shishai and Ahiman and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Deborah, and the name of Deborah before was Kirjath Sepher. Over to verse number 17. And Judah went to Simeon his brother, Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath, utterly destroyed it, and the name of the city was Hormah. And Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. I don't know if you're starting to see a pattern, but God raised up Judah, delivered the people into his hand, and there is victory after victory after victory. And God is delivering them into his hand. I'm glad for victory, aren't you? Aren't you glad for the day that you got saved? God give you some victory and some things. Amen. Look in verse number 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but he could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. Now, God raised up Judah, and this was right after the death of Joshua. And they were expanding their territory. They were taking on or gathering or gaining new ground, amen, for the Lord. And this is sort of what happens to us when we get saved, is God moves in and God saves us, and we'll have victory over some things, and some things will drop right off when you get saved, and God will begin to expand the territory and begin to gain ground in your life, and things will fall away, and some victories come immediately, and some victories, amen, don't come immediately. And the Bible says in verse number 19, and the Lord was with Judah. Boy, aren't you glad God's with us tonight? We don't have to depend. And Judah was not gaining victory or gaining ground because of Judah's ability or because of Judah's intuition or because of Judah's his study or that tribe's study of the art of war. But the Bible said that God had delivered them into his hand. Amen. God was the one that made the victory possible. Amen. Victory in our life, God is the one that makes it possible. It's not because of, I was reading today and over in the New Testament, Paul said, not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble men. Hey, that's probably how come I got in. Amen. But it's God. And I want to say just a few things before we go any further. Number one, there has never been, and there is not, and there never will be anything or anybody with more power than God Almighty. Amen. Jesus put it this way, and God hath given me, in heaven and earth all power. Amen. All power belongs to our Lord. Amen. There's nobody or no entity any more powerful than our Lord. Hey, number two, in verse number 19, the Bible said, and God and the Lord was with Judah. Now, it was God that delivered the inhabitants of the mountain into the hands of Judah. It was God that delivered Ekron. It was God that delivered Zephath. It was God that delivered Ascalon. It was God's power. Now, number three, if God is all powerful, and if God was with Judah, and if God delivered all of these inhabitants into the hand of Judah, don't you think God could have delivered the inhabitants of the valley also? That's right. Hey, Judah was getting victory after victory and getting bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden he bumped into the inhabitants of the valley. And you know what he found out? You know how come he couldn't whip them, right? It said they had chariots of iron. They were stronger than Judah was. They had something that Judah could not defeat. But don't you, I believe it's prevalent tonight that if God delivered all those other nations, and he did, that he could have delivered the inhabitants of the valley also. Well, I thank God for some victory. Hey, some things just dropped right off. Nobody had to tell me after I got saved that I ought not drink. Man, it dropped. I mean, it was gone. Pow. Hey, there's some things. Hey, there's some things that just dropped right off. There's some things that didn't. I want to preach just a few minutes tonight on why God left the inhabitants in the valley. How come God left some victories for later? You know, everything we struggle with, God could have delivered us from. God could have touched, amen, in the beginning. God, hey, I don't know what you're struggling with tonight. I don't know, but I know this. God's still working on me. There's still some things, amen, that I struggle with that I sincerely wish God would help me with, but God has not delivered me from them yet. I don't know what you struggle with, whether it be lust or greed or doubt or something, but you struggle with something, and God didn't deliver us from everything all at once. But he could have. So if he didn't, I want to know how come. And now I mentioned some things that God did take away right at first. But I I ain't advocating. I didn't quit smoking right away. I ain't even preaching on it. I'm just testifying. I didn't quit chewing tobacco right away. God knows, but I know this much. I would get down beside my bed and I'd say, Lord, God, you know I want to quit. God, I ain't even preaching on it, but I just want to tell you, God convicted my heart, and I began to ask God, Lord, would you help me? God deliver me. God, give me. I had been saved long, and I knew I'd been listening, and I'd been asking God to help me. Amen. But God was dealing my heart about preaching. And it seemed like every time I would get down and ask God, Lord, would you please help me? Please help me. God say, you know what I want you to do. God, please help me. Please help me. God say, you know what I want you to do. God, please help me. Please. And God say, you know what I want. Now, God could have took all that away right at first, but he didn't. Amen. He didn't take it all away right at first. Number one, I believe one of the reasons God left the inhabitants in the valley, amen, was because of humility. Amen. Do you know what would have happened to the children of Judah if every time they fought a battle, victory came with ease? They became a pretty arrogant and a pretty cocky people, and they would have began to think that it was in them and because of them that victory came. Amen. But God left some things that were difficult down so that down the road, amen, he might just let them see, amen, that it let it humble them. Now, I used to be, I had gotten saved, and I was working down at for Spartanburg County in the tire shop. And I went to work in the tire shop, and the fellow that was supposed to be there to train me was out because of medical leave. And so I was there trying to learn it all. Somebody would come in once in a while and show me a little bit, and I was in there trying to break down those big old tractor tires, beating them with them. I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't. But I got into messing around in that tire shop one day, and I found a little old refrigerator. What in the world? And I opened up the refrigerator, and there sat 6 rolls, amen, of snuff. That might not do. I don't even want none. I joked around about it the other day, and now God's whooping me for it. Anyways. So, and I shut the door and I walked off and said, Lord, you know I'm trying to quit chewing tobacco. What in the world? There ain't nobody around, and they 6 rolls of snuff in that refrigerator. And I walked around pushing the broom. I said, oh God, would you help me? I don't know why you put that there. Why in the world did you? And I done thought, and I said, oh, it ain't mine. There ain't no way. I'd try to push it off, and before you know it, I done figured out if I give him $5 when he got back. I didn't even know the man, but if I gave him $5 when he got back, it would be all right for me to go over there and get just one can, amen, just one. And you know what happened before I knowed it? Man, I had a dip of somebody else's tobacco. I never met the man in my life, amen. And I had, I was spitting and I was riding high. And if you, over at Spartanburg County Fleet Services, there is 2 buildings. There is the tire shop where I was, amen. And there is the mechanic shop over there. Don't laugh, Haley. I seen you dipping snuff too. There's the mechanic shop. You know good and well they spit on the side of your car. There's the mechanic shop over there where they work on those police cars. And I walked over there and the head mechanic came around the corner. Now look, I am no amateur spitter. I used to practice spitting. I could spit almost on a quarter at 10 feet. We actually had contest. That's right. I could do it, man. And I'm telling you, I came around the corner and there stood the head mechanic. And out of nowhere, I don't know if God gooched me or what happened, but out of nowhere, I spit right in the middle of his shirt. I tried to catch it with both hands and it left my mouth. I was standing there just like this and I looked over. I was waiting to see whether or not he was going to hit me or cuss me.
hey man, somebody spit on me 15 years ago. You getting something. But God must have been working on both ends because he laughed. I never would have laughed had someone spit brown, juicy spit right in the middle of my uniform shirt. You say, what are you talking about? Sometimes God saves victories for later. I guarantee you I didn't strut away from that one. Oh, no. I walked back over to that other building and I watched him. He watched me eat my lunch for 2 weeks. And I didn't know whether he'd spit in it. I didn't know what he put in it. But all he didn't have to, all he had to do was stand there and watch me. And God leaves some things to humble us. I don't know what you're struggling with. It might just be. You say, how come God didn't do away with this? I've been praying and asking God sincerely. It might be God saving that victory for later just to keep you in a spot of humility. Amen. Because God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Amen. Now, that leads me to my second point. God continued to deal with me, and I continued to resist. Until one day in that same tire shop, the Lord calling me to preach, and I remember standing there. And God knows my heart with all sincerity. I was asking God to help me. God knows it. And I remember standing there, and we were in mission conference in October of 99. And the Lord would not leave me alone about preaching. And I had been praying for some time, God, would you help me? And I quit buying cigarettes. I didn't quit smoking. I just turned into a bum. Now, some of you know some people like that. I can tell by the smile some of you were like that. I tried everything. But you know what? I came to church that night. I went home and, Lord God, this is embarrassing. I even stole one of my grandma's cigarettes and I lit it up. And I looked at it and I said, man, this thing ain't doing it. And I put it down and I came to church. I'm supposed to be example. And I came to church and I said, Lord, if you'll help me, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do whatever you. You say God used something like that to get. Hey, he had me tied in a knot. I mean, I said, Lord, and you know what? I out in the other building before mission conference, we was having prayer, and everybody got up and everybody left except me and somebody I was praying with, and I got down and I said, Lord, if you want me to preach. And I'd met Jen, I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, if she'll marry me still, if she won't, Lord, if it's Africa, if it's wherever it's at, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do it. And you know what God had did? God had used something small and silly to bring me to the place of compliance or complying with his will for my life. You say, how come God left something that he knows I'm struggling with and he knows I'm praying about and he knows I have every desire to do what he wants? It might be God left it in your life for later victory so that he might bring you to a place to where you comply with his will for your life. Amen. It might be something silly. It didn't seem silly to me at that time. Amen. You know what happened? 2 weeks went by. Two solid weeks. Now, I'm not talking about 2 weeks of struggling. I'm talking about 2 solid weeks went by. And I remember looking up, and I said, you know what? I don't remember who I told it to. I said, I ain't smoked a cigarette. I ain't wanted a cigarette. I ain't chewed no tobacco. I ain't wanted no tobacco to chew. You know what happened? When God used it for his glory in my life, he delivered me, amen, from what I was struggling with. That's delivered. I didn't fight at it. I finally gave in to God and said, Lord, whatever you want. And God had left that thing in my life, amen, to humble me, amen, to get me to comply with his will for my life. Amen. I don't know what it is that you might be, this might be preventive maintenance, but it might be something God's using to get you just in line with him. Amen. Number 3, I'll be short tonight.
One other reason I believe God left it in, God left those inhabitants in the valley with those chariots of iron so that Judah might fight for dependency, so that they might remember that they have to depend on God. No matter how far they go with God, no matter how much ground they cover, no matter how much, amen, they never reach a place to where they do not have to fully and totally and wholeheartedly depend on God for everything that they have, amen, that they need. Amen. God leaves some things in our lives so that we might remember to depend on Him. Amen. I was thinking about that song. I even wrote it down on this piece of paper. I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. I can't do a thing without Him. At my best, by myself, boy, I fail God. I'll let Him down. At my best, on my own, amen, I let my family down. I let myself down. I let my Lord down. Amen. I need Him tonight. I need Him in the morning. Amen. That's every hour I need Thee. For the simplest, amen, for the simplest things, I need my God. Amen. I need Him tonight. And I believe God leaves some things. You say, how come God won't get, it just might be that God left something in your life just so that you'd remember, amen, that you need Him, that you have to depend on Him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm finished. I said what God's put on our hearts. God spoke to your heart tonight. Maybe you're struggling with something, wondering why God's waiting. It might be God left it in your life just to keep, just to bring you and remind you. And occasionally, sometimes He has to take us down a notch. Sometimes He has to remind us that we have to depend on Him. And sometimes it's just to get us to comply, just to get us to line up with the things, what God's will for our life. Thank you so much.